First, as we approach the end of summer, more and more school football programs are getting underway. But as the new season looms, so does the ever-growing specter of brain injuries. And a new study paints a grimmer picture for those who play the game. Researchers at Boston University recently examined the donated brains of over 200 deceased football players, from those who played in high school all the way to those who played in the NFL, and found that the vast majority of them did in fact have CTE. CTE is a neurodegenerative brain disease, which can be found in people who have been exposed to repeated head trauma. To narrow it down even further, the disease was identified in the brains of 110 out of 111 former NFL players. But does that mean that CTE is a given the longer you play football? Lingering questions remain. Dr. Hallie Zweibel joins us now. He's assistant professor and director of the Center for Sports Medicine at the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine. Dr. Zweibel, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we just heard some of the numbers there, but in your words, how prevalent is CTE in the brains of former football players?
Well, so the interesting thing about this study, which you mentioned, is that CTE was very prevalent among the sample they selected from this brain bank. The caveat comes in, and the researchers were definitely mentioning this in their article, was that these brains were all from players who and their families who were concerned enough to have their brains donated to this brain bank. So although this study shows that CTE is a risk from football, it doesn't tell us the degree of risk.
And what is your reaction to these findings? Again, looking at those NFL numbers, 110 out of 111 of these brains of former football players were found to have CTE. What do you think about that?
Well, having first read it, it's definitely an alarming statistic. But as you delve further into the article, you have to realize that the selection of people are families and individuals who are concerned enough to have their loved ones' brains donated for further study. So it's hard to tell how indicative this is of the larger football, how indicative it is of the larger issue in football from this sample.
I want to back up a minute and talk specifically about CTE. Can you tell us what it is, what it does?
Sure. So as you said, CTE stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And chronic traumatic encephalopathy really categorizes a few different dysfunctions we can notice. It can be cognitive issues, so people can have lapses in memory, reaction time, processing. It can be behavioral issues where they might get angrier easier or have issues with depression or anxiety. Or in certain groups, it could be movement issues, such as Parkinson's-like problems. And we understand why CTE is occurring. So I like to think of it like a conveyor belt. Between the nerves and the brain, there's pieces of information and chemicals passing through. And when there's a blow to the head, those conveyor belts, those pieces of information can get disrupted, and they can accumulate, and over time, we believe that's what causes this neurodegeneration.
So is science able to say right now that there is a link between head trauma, repeated head trauma, and CTE?
Science can say that there is a link, but we again don't know how much of a link. We don't know how much head trauma, the type of head trauma, and when it occurs. We can't tell if that is related to if you will have CTE. We just don't know yet.
One interesting thing that the study seems to have found is that brains that exhibited a mild form of CTE, the symptoms that were reported were things like mood swings, some of the erratic behavior you were talking about. And for severe signs of CTE in the brain, what was seen then was a memory loss. So it seems as though there was a broad spectrum of impact on the individual and what the brain looked like.
Right. So if you read the article in depth, it actually says that in a lot of these people, it started out as behavioral issues, But in a few people, it also started as cognitive or even both. But no matter how it started out, CTE was progressive in all the different groups. The main difference, I would say, and what the researchers found, was that individuals with mild CTE were more likely to commit suicide, while individuals who had some more severe CTE usually passed on from complications from issues like dementia and Parkinson's-like problems.
Right now, we're talking with Dr. Hallie Zweibel of the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine, and we're looking at concussion, CTE, and the latest research on football and brain injuries. A new study found CTE in 99% of deceased NFL players' brains, and our guest points out that those were brains that were donated from concerned families, so there could be a link there or some kind of bias in the study, but still interesting news. And looking at how long the knowledge has been around, what do we know, Dr. Zweibel, about how long the medical community has known about CTE?
Well, it hasn't been very long. It was actually first identified by Dr. Bennett Amalu, who, if you know his story, it's really interesting. He was a Pittsburgh medical examiner, and a former NFL player came across his examination table, and he noticed that the brain didn't look like ones he was familiar with. So he did the pathology, he did the studies, and he saw that these changes were consistent with something he termed CTE. And that's where we've kind of sprung from, and all the research has come from that point.
And as it stands, it seems like CTE is something that can only be diagnosed after you die. Is this something that could change in the future?
Exactly. So at this point in time, CTE only can be diagnosed when you die. But researchers and studies like this are helping the scientific community to come up with ways that we can identify symptoms and signs while someone is living to give them the diagnosis.
Now, I want to ask you about something from the news. Just 2 days after the release of this study, the NFL saw a high-profile retirement when Baltimore Ravens linebacker John Urschel announced that he's going to give up football at the age of 26, having only played 3 seasons in the NFL. He's saying he's going to go on and pursue a doctorate in math at MIT. And he didn't specifically mention that the CTE study was a cause in that decision, but it has been speculated that it did play a role in that decision. Wondering if you think that more and more young players will make similar decisions, maybe not go into football at all.
Well, I think that there really is a concern, and studies like this point out and highlight that there absolutely is a concern with football and CTE. The issue is we really don't know the strength of that concern, how worried individuals should be. We just don't have that knowledge yet. But it is a good idea to raise awareness about concussions and CTE, because there are things that can be done if someone does suffer a concussion. And I think the more we raise awareness around concussions, dispel myths, and promote rehabilitation when someone gets injured, that really will go a long way.
Let's take one caller now. We've got John on the line with us in Edgerton. John, hi.
Hello. I was hoping you might point me to some resources that would help me estimate a risk. My son, who's entering his junior year in high school, is just crushed that we won't let him play football. We've held him out for 2 years because in junior high he had 2 concussions in football, and after that he had 1 in basketball. So he's had to sit out 2 years, and it's I just don't have any good way of estimating, you know, are we taking a 1 in a million, a 1 in 100, a 1 in 10 chance that he's going to have problems as an adult, brain problems from letting him play high school football.
John, thank you so much for calling in and sharing those concerns. I imagine it's really tough to be a parent in that role. Your kid wants to play, but you want to keep him safe. What do you think, Dr. Zweibel?
Well, John, I think you've asked a very important question, and one that a lot of parents are concerned about. And speaking with parents, you know, it's something that comes up very frequently. So in terms of the statistics, 1 in 5 high school athletes will sustain a sports concussion during the season. And like your son experienced, once you have a concussion one time, you're up to 2 times as likely to have a second one. And from there, from 2, you're 4 times as likely to have a third. So it really can be a cumulative issue. Now, when we talk about long-term issues like CTE, we just don't know what that magic number is of how many hits to the head it takes before you are at risk, or the type of hits to the head you're taking. We just don't have the answer to the question at this point, and that it's frustrating for us, but it is very frustrating for parents like yourself.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Dr. Zweibel, but if this were your kid, what would you do?
Well, luckily, my daughter's only 10 months old, so I don't have to worry about that as of yet. Mm-hmm. But I have had conversations with many athletes, and I think it has to be a shared decision-making process. I think we have to inform players about the realistic risks of playing sports, but also the benefits, the sociability, the leadership, the athletic integrity that we can gain from sportsmanship. So it is a trade-off, and football comes under the spotlight, but concussion is prevalent in many sports, hockey, rugby, soccer. So although a lot of the headlines are around the NFL, concussion is a problem in many sports.
We're talking right now with Dr. Hallie Zweibel of the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine, looking at the latest research on concussions, CTE, and the latest research on football and brain injuries. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. If you're the parent of a football player, are you concerned about how the game could affect your child's brain health? If you are a football player, are you concerned about what could happen in the future? And do you think football or other contact sports can be made safer? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll continue our conversation in a little bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation about concussions and CTE with Dr. Hallie Zweibel, assistant professor and director of the Center for Sports Medicine at the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine. And you can join us with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234. And let's go right to our phone lines. We've got Dale joining us in De Pere. Dale, hi.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is I'm just calling in reference to the fellow just called about his son wanting to play football. Our son had had 3 prior concussions, 2 in baseball, 1 in basketball, in over a spread of years. It was his senior year, and they were looking for players because of injuries, and he begged and pleaded with us. He really wanted to go out in the worst way, and we really never said yes, but he went out. Unfortunately, midway through the season, he fell making a tackle. Hit his head. We had to call our ambulance. Mm-hmm. We had to bring him to the hospital, out of town game. And he has since had another one in a car accident. My feeling is that once they get them, they just seem so much more susceptible to get them a second and third time. And as much as your son wants to play, my gut feeling would be we would not do it again. We would say no, because he's gone through a lot of difficult times. Memory has struggled. A lot of things have happened, and he's still, at this time, he was just hit by a car about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry.
So he's going through it again. But it's nothing to take lightly. It's a very serious thing, and I encourage all parents to just play it safe. That's
Dale, thank you so much for calling and in response to our first caller, John. And I want to take another call right after that. And again, Dale, I'm sorry that your son had that car accident too, and I hope he recovers quickly. Let's go to Jason now in Iowa County. Jason, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
I was just, my sons both play football. One's entering his senior year, so that makes 7 years of playing football, and luckily hasn't had any concussions. My other son has been playing for, he'll be entering his 4th year of playing football and never had any concussions either. So I'm happy for that. I'm wondering, I have read that perhaps someone who has done some research for the movie about the concussions and that, it was maybe said that the type of concussion or the severity perhaps of concussions in youth football and even in college football don't even compare to the concussions that NFL players get?
Interesting question, Jason, and a couple different perspectives there for you, Dr. Zweibel. Dale saying his son got a couple concussions, kept getting them, more susceptible. He says, don't let your son keep playing. And Jason saying his son has been okay. That's been his experience, but he says that maybe the way the concussions impact the brain is different if you're a big NFL player versus a high school player. What do you want to comment on those, Dr. Zweibel?
Yeah, so I think it's important to separate out adolescents and children who are at risk for a concussion versus a professional athlete or an adult who can know the risks going in and make a decision versus a child who is at the discretion of their parents playing. So from my perspective, I think it's really important to highlight the risks to both groups. But I think we really have to be on the safer side when it comes to children and adolescents to make the rules in a way that really promote their safety at all times. So, for instance, the National Soccer Youth Organizations have actually limited heading as part of their game for 13, 14 under girls. And small measures like that can make a difference and hopefully decrease the amount of concussions people have.
And we have to leave it there. We're out of time. Dr. Zweibel, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you so much.
That was Dr. Hallie Zweibel, assistant professor and director of the Center for Sports Medicine at the New York Institute of Technology College of Osteopathic Medicine, joining us there to talk about the latest research on brain injuries and football.